Okay, we're going to Greek this morning, as should be. All right, first of all, let me hand these out.
I'll have you know I was up till 1 creating this for you. I had great compassion. I should have made you do it by hand like I did when I was in Greek class, but I had fun doing it. Helped me to refresh my own memory.
Okay, these are just 4 of the 12 tense groupings. But I want you to first look at the top. Obviously, color on our printer is fading, so it looks pink. But I want you to look at, when we're looking at verb tenses, look at these 7 different types of tense names, okay? You already feel tense now, don't you? When you're dealing with verbs, you're dealing with a kind of action as well as the time of action, which is in the past, present, or future. Okay. When it says that it's like present indicative active, it means that it is progressive or continuous. It means it is ongoing. It is something that is still being done. Okay? So we call it, in what's called an indicative mood, it's present, obviously. Okay? The aorist, which is what we're going to talk about today, is what's called simple or summary occurrence. It just says something happened. Okay? And it doesn't tell you whether, it doesn't tell you when it happened, it doesn't tell you if it's going to continue to happen. It just says, it rained. Okay? And duh, alright? Or it may say it's raining, but doesn't mean that it's going to continue to rain forever and ever and ever. Aorist just says, hello, there it is. So it usually is put, now watch this, right down next to yours, usually past. Usually past. It means that something happened and it is true now. It doesn't mean that it is always true or whatever. It just says it happened. So sometimes people try to read all kinds of weird things into the aorist tense. The context or a biblical truth is much more important to understand than just what the tense of a verb is, because most of your verbs, not most, but many of your verbs, a lot of your verbs are aorist. It just says something happened, okay? It's like a news report. This happened, this happened, this happened. Okay. Perfect tense kind of sounds like what it means. It means it's completed. That's what it means by perfect, which is kind of a biblical concept, all right? I am, you may not believe it, but I have 3 tenses in operation with me at all. My salvation is completed. My sanctification is not, okay? But as far as God's concerned, I am already a saint. Amen? So there are some things that are... So when the Bible says, be perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect, it's not dealing with salvation. Not dealing with my justification at all. That is perfect. There's another part of me that is not perfected or not completed. Do you understand what I'm saying? All right. So, perfect puts it in the past, but it means I'm still enjoying it now. Okay? Don't you wish that a lot of things were just that way, but it's not, okay? Imperfect means it's in the past, but you're not finished, okay? It's progressive, it's continuing, and you can lose it. You can, not when I talk about salvation again, but whatever action you're going at can be lost. Future, obviously, it just says something you hope to happen. I might go to the store today, okay? It's off in the future. Your past perfect means, now again, when it talks about perfect, it means that there are results. You have an effect. So the past perfect means something happened in the past and you're still enjoying the fruit of it now. And the future perfect means that you're looking forward to something and it is a sure hope. There are results already there. I'm just waiting to get there. Like my new body. It is already there. I'm not there. But I'm seated in heavenly places, okay? Do you understand what I'm saying? So, 7 kind of powerful concepts about verb tenses. Now, you have a chart there, and you have 4 basic, 4 pretty powerful. Now, the aorist is not there. We're not going to actually go through that list. I'm just going to explore the aorist tense today. But PIA stands for what, John?
Present indicative active.
Present indicative active. IIA stands for what, Keith? Imperfect indicative active.
Imperfect meaning?
It's progressive and it's...
Okay. It's not finished yet.
Right.
Okay. All right. So what does FIA stand for, Daniel?
Future indicative active.
Good. Okay. So it is indicative, meaning it's an action going on. And the future indicative, there are what's called pluperfect, all kinds of weird things. But future indicative active means it's something that you hope or that you plan on doing. And what's PSA? I talked about it last week. That is called perfect subjunctive active. I might do something. So look at the way that I write it. Along the far left corner column there, you got 1PS, 2PS, 3PS. What's all that? Brother Barry.
1PS, 2PS.
Yeah, what's all that?
First person.
No, the S has another, there's something else on there. What's
First person singular.
Good.
Etc.
First person plural, second person plural, third person plural. What's the INF, Keith? Infinitive, which means it's infinite. It's just infinitive means it's out there somewhere. It's to do something. All right. So a lot of times you'll see a root word in its infinitive. Sometimes you'll see it in its first person singular, but usually one of those two. So the omega there, I am verbing. I am seeking. So o ace a amen ate use ain. So I, you, he, she, or it, we, ye, they, and then two. So that goes across. Sometimes you don't have an infinitive. You'll look across and you'll see I-I-A. The imperfect indicative active here has no infinitive, although the future indicative active does. The perfect subjunctive active does not have an infinitive. Neither do some of these, okay? So... So when you run down and you're looking at the future indicative active, I want you to notice what is the first letter there in every one of those?
Sigma.
So actually, if you go back and look at your perfect indicative active, and if you put a sigma in front of it, you have a future. Do you see that? Here, you'll see sigma. Oh, so it's so, say, say, somen, say, te, su, say, sain. It's O S A Amen Ete Usein with a sigma in front of it, and it becomes future.
Is that the thematic vowel?
That's kind of like thematic vowel. The thematic vowel, I actually showed you a thematic vowel, and I was not thinking. Thematic vowel, there are sometimes when you have an epsilon in front, it's an added vowel in your word, and it just, but you've got to look at this ending, and then you'll look also, there's an extra epsilon in there. Okay, but if you'll watch, I want you to notice. Second person singular, perfect indicative active, ace. Alright? Imperfect indicative active. It's just your epsilon and then sigma. Here, so it's ace, S, ace, and then look over there. What is that letter there? Anybody want to know? Anybody want to guess?
Yeah.
Yes, eta, but it has a unique mark. It's an accent mark underneath. So that's ace. Really A sounding, like T-H-E-Y. So it's ace. So if you notice, it's very similar pronunciation. Ace, S, ace, ace, even harder to sound. But they're all very similar, aren't they? Oh, it's a nightmare. If you were, you know, unless you grew up in Greece, or speaking Greek, the nuances of the language would drive you, like with English can, if you pay attention. But we're so used to it. All right, third person singular. I, A, say, and then A again. All right, amen. Aha. Oh, how do you know the difference between perfect indicative active first person plural or perfect indicative or imperfect indicative active first person plural? They're both the same. Samen, and then omen. That's a bad omen. Okay, so some of these are going to be... Oh, which one am I choosing? Barry, how am I going to tell whether it's imperfect or perfect? How am I going to tell? How am I going to tell sometimes whether it's perfect negative middle or perfect
these are contexts, is it?
Your context. Your context. Okay? As it is in English. But it's still hard. I was showing them last night. I was showing when you have a Greek sentence, okay, and you start to mechanically translate the words, and you start listing what are the possibilities for translating that verse. Literally, we were given you had to translate it up to 3 times, and so you do it mechanically. Then you begin to refine it, and the third time you come to as close as you can. But you can translate that verse in a multitude of different ways, but you start expanding, as you translate, you start expanding and bringing in more and more of the context to help you go, that verb is saying this. That, this is not the the direct object. That is the direct object because of how he's been talking all the way through. So it is, you're not just, see, there are a couple of groups out there, Wycliffe Bible Translators, and other people who think that you can take a Greek New Testament and just mechanically, like Google Text, Google Translate, just mechanically translate into somebody's language, which is not true. Okay, you can do some mechanical translation. I did my prayer letter and I sent it to a man who supports me over in Germany. It's a church over there in Austria. You know, Jim Griggers. So I sent him my prayer letter, and one time I ran it through Google Translate German. He said he had the biggest laugh of his life reading, because I wrote it and I put it in there as if I had wrote it, you know. Yeah. And I made it all formatted and in my letterhead, and he just laughed. He said this was the biggest joke ever. Didn't make half sense. So he's glad he got my real prayer letter before he got the German translated one. So this is why translation is, there is still a science. There's a lot of work to it. How long did it take the King James translators to put together your Bible there?
7 years.
7 years. And those 7 years were not just one, but 54 men. And 54 men swapping back and forth and reviewing their notes. I mean, phenomenal. They work 6 days a week, guaranteed. So, all right. So, we're going... So, somebody talk to me. Tell me, what is that word, Keith?
Ago.
Which means? Dan.
To lead.
I, lead, bring, or go. Okay. So, ago. What is that word in? Give me my chart.
Present, imperfect, active.
No, present, indicative, active.
Present, indicative, active.
Not just present, indicative, active. First person singular. Good. First person singular.
Yeah.
So PIA, 1PS.
Right.
It's how you can try to get it in your brain.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. Now, Brother Barry, say the word, define the root word, tell me the root word, and then of what it means, and then figure out what it means with the new ending on it. Now you can use your chart.
Blepoi.
Blepe. Or blepai, I guess you could say, yeah, sorry.
He is going, or she is going.
Is she it? Sees. Blepo. I see. going.
Sorry. I would realize because they're on call.
Okay, you're all right. You'll do better next time. Brother John, say the word, give me the root word, and then give me... Oh, by the way, forgive me.
Okay.
John, give me the root word for this.
Root word, lepo.
Okay. So it's actually what? What is this? Present, indicative, active?
Third person singular.
Third person singular, good. All right, John?
Is the root... Leptane, or is it
Blepo?
You know, that's root, isn't it?
That's the root. Yeah, sometimes you will see some books say Blepane being an infinitive. But usually they'll use the first person singular. Say it again. Genoskete?
Genoskete, active, second,
plural. Thank you. Of, what's the root?
Of gnosko.
Good.
Which is
ye know.
Good. Ye know. Everybody hates those ye's and thou's and thee's, and yet in the Greek it's there. Right. Ye plural.
That's good.
Oh, my. Hallelujah. Miss Gina. Good job. Good job. We're doing well. Back to you, Brother Dan.
Let's hello.
That's a root word.
Yeah, hello.
But how do you pronounce that word?
What does that mean? Thalamon.
Thalamon.
Thalamon. And that would be, trying to stall here a little bit. Present indicative active first person plural. So we are
so we are
we
again, it's just present indicative active, so it's we what? We verb.
Yeah, I know, I just can't think of the fellow.
Well, I wish you knew what it was.
Alright.
We
thank you.
Alright, so it's we wish. All right, back to you, Brother Key.
Campaign. Present indicative, active, infinitive.
So?
And it's to, or ice, to send.
To send, exactly. To send. All right? So that would be on the post office, you know. Send a letter. Campaign. Okay, let's test some more verbs. Go to Barry.
A kuoman.
A kuoman. A kuoman.
A cool.
Okay.
That's the first, or the kuoman, the first person verb.
But you didn't tell me what it means, sorry.
I was
going to
say we
proclaim. Yeah, I know, but I couldn't have meant that, because that's...
That's the one I got last week,
Yeah.
Over here.
Acoustics. Akuo. Acoustics.
Yeah, that makes sense.
All right, but what is it? What is it? Give me the present indicative active.
Infinitive, is it?
Mm-mm. That'd be ain.
Akuain.
That would be, to be infinitive would be akuain.
Yeah.
But this is not infinitive.
Oh, yeah. Cool. We here.
Yeah, but give me the whole definition structure. Present, indicative, active. How many persons?
Oh, yeah. First person, plural. Present, indicative, active.
Okay. We here.
Yeah.
All right. Now, let's see. Brother John.
Present indicative active third person singular of lego, lege, which is he, she, or it, says.
Good.
Says.
All right. He, she, or it says. Good. Now you'll find why, in a lot of the things based on the context, it was usually just a he. Right? People say it's very, very chauvinistic Bible you have there. No, it's just how it is. If you're going to translate it, the context is usually, generally, he or man or mankind, not womankind or childkind. So, but he, she, or it. Again, the context helps you. And plus, what are there in the language that will help you know whether it's a he, she, or it?
Masculine nouns.
Huh?
Masculine nouns.
Or what we call pronouns, you know. There are. I give you the list of pronouns. that says it's masculine or feminine and things like that. So those will be next to it. Okay. Gina?
Pistuo ice.
Yes.
So the root is pistuo, and it's perpendicular active second person singular.
What's the last part? What'd you say?
Second person singular.
Right, and it means?
Sorry, singular. You believe.
You believe. Good. Back to you, Brother Dan.
Akusi. Akusi. How does that spell it?
I'm helping you out. I'm only saying the present indicative active, so don't go anywhere else.
That's good, huh?
Amen ase uti. Usi, ain.
Oh.
Usi.
Oh, they. Yeah. Okay, they. It's present indicative active, third person plural.
Good. Of?
They. They have.
They have. Good. Of, what's the root word?
Echo.
Good. They have. Wonderful. It's mechanical, but it does help you. All right, Brother Keith. Find your root word first, then find your ending. So how would you?
Ye are finding.
No. You're not putting it in. You're not putting it in imperfect. It's still present indicative active. So.
In the chart,
what did I do? Did I?
They are.
They are.
You are.
You are.
But no, it's just ye find. It's not ye are finding. Don't put R in there. Do I have ye are in there?
Yeah.
Where am I?
You have A-R-E.
And then ye are
verbing. Ye are verbing. Yeah, ye are finding. Sorry. You're exactly right.
So.
The person plural. Yeah, it should be ye find. I'm trying to think of how that works. We have. They know. They are knowing. I guess it's okay.
I guess it's because it's occurring in the present. You are doing something right now, so you just...
You're finding.
Same thing in Irish. It's the same thing.
It's the same thing. I just want to make sure, because we had all kinds of debates in class 25 years ago about nuances. And so... We'll leave it at that. I wrote that down in my notes, and so I keep that, but I had to check myself because I thought it should be just, they find. Because it's true. You can say, well, can you say they find? No, you'd have to say they found or they are finding. There is something about English that makes you say they are
finding.
They find
themselves.
You don't say they find themselves.
They find themselves.
No, I have to check myself. You don't say they find themselves. That's putting them like...
They found themselves.
Yeah, they found themselves.
They find themselves.
Yeah. Sorry that I didn't know, but I haven't tested that in a long time. So, okay. But it's not they. It's ye, isn't it? Were we talking they or ye?
I said ye.
Ye are finding. So, all right. So it's... but... I just wonder if you can say ye find. Anyway. Ye are, we are. That's it. We can say ye are finding. Good. All right. So you're a skate, ye are finding. And then, what's this one, John? Oh, who did I have next?
Barry.
Barry, sorry, Barry. Say the word. Give me the root.
Lambanese.
Ace?
Lambanese.
I think it's Lambanane, but anyway.
Present indicative, active, infinitive.
Mm-hmm.
To believe.
To take. Lambano is to take.
Oh, sorry.
To believe. What is to believe? Pistuo. Pistain. Pistuain. Pistain?
Pistuain.
Pistuain. Okay. Pistuo, so pistuain, is to believe. Okay. All right, we need a lot more work, and we'll do that in just a minute. Still on prepositions, without looking at your notes, tell me what ana is. John.
With?
Preposition, with.
With.
Mm-hmm. Oh. No, that's kata.
No, it's
up. Ana.
Up.
I thought I had it on my head. Sorry, I'm going to look at my notes so I don't make the mistake. Sorry. Ana. Is up, is that right? Let me find it. Find the tool. Yeah, you know what anti means. Ana is up, yes. Anti is what?
Against.
Against. Apo.
Away from.
Now this one we actually needed to correct it. It's not on, it's sigma, so it's soon, which means?
With.
There's our with. Dia, diamond.
Through.
Like you could say, a diamond you can see right through it. Ice. Keith.
Good imitation.
Yes, ma'am?
Into.
Well done. Ek.
Out.
Out of. Exit. Ek. And then N. That would be easy, Barry.
In.
N. In. Ek. Out. Good. Exit. Epi. Like an epicenter.
Yes.
Mine.
Upon. The right on top of. Kata, John.
With?
Mm-mm.
Kata.
I wonder if that's related, but I don't know. I never thought of that.
Things are on the downhill. We're going downhill.
That's right. We are going downhill. Down, down, kata. As if you write down what somebody's saying. Kata is kata. Mathon is according to Matthew, written down by Matthew.
Okay.
Meta, Gina.
With.
Meta.
Oh, sorry.
It is with. I'm sorry. I'm thinking of alongside, but that's all right. That's right. It's like here's this universe and there's a meta universe over here. They're with each other, but they're separate. Opposite.
Dan. Or.
Yeah, as an opposite. And as behind. Oh, you said before. Sorry, I'm thinking behind or after. Like opposite.
Is it behind?
Behind, yes.
Okay. Right,
before is pro.
Pro.
Pro. And then para, Keith.
Beside.
Yes, alongside. Okay, beside, good. Para, peri.
Around.
Around, good. Perimeter. Pro, we just said it.
Behind.
Yeah. No, before.
Before.
You know, somebody is a pro. He's ahead of everybody else. Okay. Pros. That's towards. Okay. And then Hooper. Okay. Hooper is above, and then Hoopo, or Hoopa.
Beneath.
Oh, I said Hoop. Yeah.
Beneath
or under. Under. Okay. Now, you got a temple chart on the back of that thing. Still working on, you've got a time of action and a kind of action going on in 6 of our 7 verbs. We have imperfect, present, and future. We call imperfect indicative active, present indicative active, future indicative active. We have pluperfect, perfect and future, and then aorist, present and future. Watch what we're doing here. When it comes to the kind of action, if something is a continuing action, okay, you can have an imperfect, she was talking to the cat, okay? Now, she was telling you it happened in the past and what she was doing. It was... but it was talking. You don't know how long, but she was taking some time to talk to her cat. Okay? If it continues, if it's in the present, she is talking to her cat. And in the future, she will be talking to her cat when she gets home. Okay? So these are just giving you some ideas of imperfect meaning. It's in the past, present, happening now, future. That's easy. When it's a completed action, we would say she had talked to her cat. Done.
Yeah.
All right? Done and dusted, we would say. Perfect is she has talked to her cat. Mm-hmm. All right? It's
like
as if... Yeah, it's just finished right now. She's talked to her cat. Now, future... I don't know of any place in the New Testament, but they say there are some extremely rare cases where she will have talked to her cat. I mean, you just don't talk that way. But that is called a future perfect. It's in the future, and it's completed. It just doesn't happen, okay? A simple action, which is where we're going again with the heiress now. She talked to her cat. You don't know when, you don't know how long she talked, but she did it. All right, she might have just said hi. She might have talked for an hour. Aorist. Present, she talks to her cat. Now, what that means is, it's just, you don't know if she's talking now or if she passed along, but this woman, on occasion and regularly, talks to her cat. So it's called a present punctiliar. It says that there was there at least one event where it happened. And then in the future, she will talk to her cat. When she gets home, she will talk to her cat. That's very common, okay, about the future. Hopefully that helps you understand some of the things when we get into and start comparing some of these tenses. The aorist. Now, I will give you a sheet that actually has these things, but let me give you some information about the aorist. The aorist tense is said to be a simple occurrence or summary occurrence of action without regard to the amount of time taken to accomplish the action, okay? These tenses often are referred to as being in the punctiliar sense, which means just a blip on the radar, it happened. Punctiliar means viewed as a single collective whole, a one point in time action, although it may, in rare instances, actually take place over a period of time. This is where people get a lot of problems, because the aorist isn't a hard and fast. It generally means it happened. Sometimes it means it's ongoing, but that is only because of some big confusion. When you find an aorist, you have to be careful to try to keep it so that it's not an action that is ongoing, even though the New Bibles try to do that. Okay. In the indicative mode, or mood, but we say indicative mode, the aorist tense tells us the action that occurred in the past time, often translated like English simple past tense. Watch. For example, God hath quickened us. Hath quickened us together with Christ. Ephesians 2:5. He has quickened. It is an event. Well, when did he do it? Yeah. Well, he did it on the cross. But it's not, you can't tell in time where it happened, but I know contextually it happened at the cross and it happened to me the 15th of June 1980. You understand? So the aorist doesn't tell me when, but I know when. Amen. He which hath begun a good work in you. That's your aorist tense. It has begun. But it's not like he began a work and this word doesn't tell you it's continuing. The next verb tells you shall perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So that is going to tell you more. The aorist just says he started something. Yes, sir.
How do they change it in the New Bible?
I don't remember. Do I have an NIV here? Let me see.
Being saved.
Well, no, we're not going to get to that verse. We're going to get to that verse in a second. I don't have a perversion here, guys.
I have a perversion.
You got a perversion.
On my computer.
Oh, well, yeah. Don't worry about it. Don't worry.
You do.
He which... They might say, he which began a good work in you, which is not necessarily wrong. Okay? That's not the problem there. The problem comes, as you're going to see in just a moment. The aorist tense reports the simple occurrence of an action. Just says something happened, like a news reporter. Ties up. It merely states that something happened. It tells you nothing more. It simply states the occurrence of an event. It sees the event as a whole. He began it. Okay? Next phrase. And he's continuing it. That tells you whether it's continuing or not. Mm-hmm. When the Bible writer was using the aorist, he was simply saying, duh, it happened. Now, the aorist tense may be likened to a snapshot, a still photo, like a man, taken of a man building a house. I like this. There is only so much you can learn from a snapshot. You can't tell how long he was working, or when he took a break, or when he even completed it. You may see him and you may guess, oh, he probably has another 3 months to go. But you don't know if he's been working on it. Like Sean and Christine, they've been converting an old farmhouse. We've been over to this house. But how long have we been over there and we've seen the construction on his house? If we took a picture last year of him working on the house, we would have estimated he probably needs about 3 or 4 more months to go. Was a year later, he hasn't done anything on the house, and that's not his fault. But the idea is, you have no idea how much longer it's going to take him. You just learn the simple fact that he was building the house. That's all the aorist tense. And yet all the new Bibles love to take advantage of the aorist and try to stretch it to mean all kinds of different things. And you don't do that. So, Mark 2:5 says, when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the sick of the palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. We would say, your sins are forgiven. Okay? But you don't... Now, you know that at that moment, because of context, he forgave him. But all the aorist is telling him is, at that, in that snapshot, at that moment, he's forgiven.
Can I ask a question here?
No. Yes, go ahead.
you said there, he was building the house.
Yes.
Is that aorist?
Was building the house. No, you just took a picture saying, in the moment of that picture, you know he was building. It's not actually putting in the past. You just know when that picture was taken, something was ongoing. It just, an event was going on, was happening, or happened. Okay, if I took a picture of an earthquake, earthquake is rather... you know, a short time event, correct? If I took a picture of a house shaking and all this stuff falling off, it just says an earthquake was happening. It's just telling me that something was happening or may be happening, but it was only a snapshot.
You know, the prophet, she was talking to a cat.
Which one? I need louder. Say it again.
See you on this chart.
I'm on that chart.
First one, she was talking to her cat in perfect.
Yes.
So what seems to be not an aorist?
Okay, she was talking, meaning that she was... if I'm telling you, the last time I left Ruth, she was talking to her cat. That gives you an idea that she is still talking to her cat. It's durative, which means it's continuing. But if I say... now, which one are you talking to? The present? She talked to her cat.
But she was talking to her cat, wouldn't be aorist, no.
No. Not unless I was just giving... If it's an aorist, again, the English doesn't have this nuance.
Yeah.
Okay? But in the aorist, it's just... I'm just telling you an event. I'm just telling you that something... I passed by and I saw her talking to her cat, whatever, and I'm going on. I'm not telling you, well, I think she's been talking to her cat for the last 6 days. I'm just telling you, I saw an event going on my way. Whereas if I'm present indicative, I'm saying, the last time I saw her, she was talking, and that was just 10 minutes ago, she was talking to her cat, which implies it's continuing.
Okay.
All those little nuances are in there. All right. Now, look at what's your first word here? You'll find that in the New Bibles. All right? But does this mean that I am being born again? No. But watch how they put it, this aorist tense, as an effect that seemed to last. Being born again, it's what I am. I am born again. But it's telling me the fact that being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, it's actually saying, I am born again by the Word of God. It's something I am now. If you looked at me at any time in my life, I'm always born again. That's all it's saying. Anytime you took a picture, snapshot of my life since the 15th of June, 1980, every snapshot you ever took, guess what? I am always born again since that day. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So being born again means I'm born again today, and when you take my picture tomorrow, I'm still born again. If you took my picture 2 years ago, I was born again, yes.
Like saying being a pastor.
I like that. Yeah. Very good, very good. All right. 1 Corinthians 1:18. For the preaching of the cross is in the perish foolishness. But in us which are saved, you just snap on those of us, if you meet a Christian, they are saved, they are saved, they are saved. Let's take a picture tomorrow. They are saved, they are saved, they are saved. Now, we'll come to that verse back in a minute. Colossians 2:10, and ye are complete. I can't believe, I'll come back to this verse as well. And ye are complete in him. Any day of my Christian life, you take a picture of me, I'm always complete. Amen? I may not feel like it. I may not act like it. But as far as, if Jesus Christ, if all the fullness of the foolishness, if all the fullness of the Godhead dwelleth in him bodily, if that was true all his life, and it was, then he was complete from the moment he was conceived, just as much as I am complete from the moment I was saved. You're complete in him, which is the head of all principalities and power. Romans 3:24, here's our being again, being justified. Am I being justified? Or is it the fact that I am? You see how it's written? Cool. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Now let's go to our little problems. Probably, no tense in Greek has been as misunderstood as the aorist tense. Romans 6:6 says, the old man is crucified, whereas almost all the New Bibles say, was crucified. That is incredibly dangerous, because they try to put it completely in the past, so that it was just a snapshot in the past. But the aorist doesn't have to be put only in the past. It generally can be past. But I want you to understand, Galatians 2:20 says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. It does not say, I was crucified with Christ. Well, no, no. Again, an aorist tells you it's a snapshot. So if you took a snapshot in the Christian, well, the context, that's why the King James translators put in the present, because when you have an aorist tense in relation to my salvation, you know that if you took a snapshot of me the moment I got saved, and then 40 years later, the same truth that was true there is still true in the Christian life. That's how come the King James translators put it in the present. I am crucified. All right, now watch this. 1 Corinthians 1:18. To us which are saved has been changed to us which are being saved. It does not say that, because it already has the R in there. It's not saying unto us which are saved. It's unto us which are. It's put it into the durative. It's actually making it a continuing process. And can you imagine anything more damning and more opportunistic for a Pentecostal? They love those Bibles. Because you can lose your salvation if you are being saved. Amen? All right. So, nightmare has begun. let's have some fun. No. Yes! All right, dictation. You need to be able to write these words out. For Greek. No. I need a piece of paper. It's just dictation. I'm going to write it out. You are going to be great. It's an exercise. Consider it a test, I guess. I don't care. All right. Now, I'm going to do it reversed. I'm going to give you the English. I want you to write out the English. Are you listening? Now, it's not a test, so you can use your chart. You just cannot use your word lists.
Should I put it on the back of this test? Would be all right, then?
No, I'd rather get another piece of paper. So, what am I going to do? I'm going to give you English. I'm going to give you English like, you know, John is great. And you're going to have to translate it in English. No. All right, so... When I do that, I want you to write out, you're going to write out the English. You're then, after the English, you're going to write it in Greek. And then you're going to tell me, present, indicative, active, I'm going to give you all those, don't worry. Present, indicative, first, second, third person of what root word? Does that make sense?
Yeah. Root word on something.
Yeah.
Well, the root word would have to be in, like if I said...
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's the root word, not in English, but root word in Greek. All right, you ready? All right. We know.
You write on English first.
Yeah, write down we know in English, and then after that, tab over, put it in Greek, and then give me the, I'll have to say, present, P-I-A, first, second, third person, and then the root word. We know. we know. Come on, you gotta work faster.
We need to write the root.
Then you're gonna need to write the root, right? Number two. I see. Number three, he finds. He finds. Number four. You send. Number five, they know. Kind of a paranoid statement. They're watching me. Number six, ye lead. Thank you. Number 7. Short sentence. We wish to know. So you have two words. We wish. So tell me number of persons. And then to know. So you'll have a little bit more information on that line. Two Greek words. Number 8. He hears. Number 9, they write. They write. Lastly, number 10, you believe. You believe. Make sure you date the top of it with your name. Introduction to Greek class. And hand it to your left. Yes, sir.
Well, what I did was I put the root and then I added the tense to the end. Okay?
No, sir.
I had to rewrite the whole word again with the thing on there?
Yeah, you were supposed to.
Yeah.
I guess it's okay, but the idea is I want to see the word...
Completed.
Complete, and then give me present indicative first-person singular of Lego.
I just added it.
Okay, well, we can work with it, but, yeah, no, it needs to be just in a simple, consistent structure, because if you're saying Lego Ace doesn't help me, and it doesn't help you, you need to just say Leg Ace.
Yeah.
Okay, you missed just the construction in your mind, that process.
All right. Oh, well.
we'll do it again. We'll do it again. Just pass your things to your left. Quickly make up something, anything, Barry. All right. Brother Dan, what have you got for number one?
We know Gnoskomen.
Gnoskomen. Remember?
Gnoskomen. Gnoskomen. No. Present, indicative, active, first person, plural. Root, Gnosko.
Good.
Gnosko.
Gnosko. All right, did everybody hear that?
Yeah.
All right. Number two, Keith, what have you got?
Blepo.
All right, that's not what you should say. You should see. You should say, I see.
I see.
Blepo.
Blepo. Present, indicative, active, first person, singular.
Of. Blepo. Okay. That's how I want it. Okay. That those four columns. Number three, Barry.
He finds.
Mm-hmm.
There we go. What's on here?
Yeah.
He doesn't have anything.
Okay, all right. It should be Euriske. Epsilon Iota.
Yeah.
Euriske. For present indicative active, third person singular of Eurisko. John. Four.
Used and still away.
What?
Yes.
It should be
present indicative active, second person singular of Stello.
Yeah, we do have two sends, don't we?
Yeah, Stello and Pepo.
I forgot that.
How do you spell Stello?
Two lambdas. Two lambdas.
Yeah. Sorry about that.
What about the spelling? Or?
Right now, I'm not going to be too hard, I guess. Yeah, you can either do Stella.
What do we Stella?
Stello. Stello or Pempo.
Oh, yeah, Stella Ice.
Stello, yeah, it should be Stella. Stella Ice. It should be Stella Ice. Stello Ice.
Okay.
Stella Ice. Heavy on the lice.
Yeah.
So it should be Pempace or Pempice. Yes. You send. We just did Pempo. I thought you'd remember that. Sorry. Mm. Number five.
What is the present indicative active second?
Second person singular.
Number five, they know, Gnoskusi.
Mm-hmm.
Present indicative active, third person plural of Gnosko.
Good. Number six, Brother Dan.
Ye lead. Agete.
Mm-hmm.
Present indicative active second person plural.
Mm-mm.
Oh, that's what it's
down. Oh, it is.
It is, yes. I had to think. One, two, three, four, five. Yep.
Well, this is my paper. It's not my paper. It's all right. The second person plural.
Yes.
Ago.
Of Ago. Ye is the key. If I said you, sorry, that's what I was thinking. And number seven.
Oh.
We wish yep. Thello, present, indicative, active, first person, present.
Not present.
Should be phenomenal.
First person, plural.
Oh, first. I'm sorry. First person, plural.
So, what was your? What's the?
Thello, Thelamen.
Right, Thelamen.
Yeah.
And then the other one.
Gnosko.
Oh. Gnosko.
Gnosko is not correct. Well, it's got to be the ending.
Okay. That should be in the same...
It should be Gnoskane. You should have Thelamen, Gnoskane.
Yeah, all right.
Okay, and you would just do a present indicative active infinitive of Gnosko.
Game, yeah.
To know.
Yeah, okay.
I was trying to help you so we all stayed in the present directive.
No, yeah, it was right there.
Okay, so we wish to know. All right, you see, you'll see that the disciples were surrounding Jesus. There were lots of crowds. And then a crowd comes I forget where they came from. All of a sudden my brain fails me. But they came and they talked to Philip and says, we would see Jesus. We wish to see Jesus. So you see the construction there. All right. Number 8. What have you got, Barry?
Nothing.
All right. John?
He hears a kuais present indicative act of third person.
A kuais?
A
kuais. He. Okay. Just correct it there.
There's an S on
the end. Don't judge me for what I did. Judge me for my sincere motives.
I'll go kuo anyway.
A kuo. Yeah, so it's... Do it. Say it for me.
He hears a kuo. Mm-hmm. After the person singular.
I didn't hear that part. Good.
Okay.
Of a kuo. Good. Okay. Number 9.
They raish graphusi present indicative active third person plural of grapho.
Good. And number 10, Brother Dean.
You believe?
Speed.
Pistuais
or ace? Yeah, I guess so.
Present indicative active second person singular of the stool.
Beautiful. All right. That is your first exercise, so that you get the. You've got to have memorized your 30 words or 40 words so far. You've got to memorize those so that if I say, give me the third person singular, present indicative passive of ago.
Agete.
Okay. So you need to be able to just crunch it through your brain and not even think about it. Okay? Because I'll do it either. I'll say it in English, and you translate it in Irish. You'll translate it into Greek, or I'll give you Greek, and you have to work it back around. Okay. All right. Neil.
It's okay if they study.
There's no grade on this exercise. This is okay. But yeah, the next one, you will be graded.
Yeah.
Okay? So keep this so that you sort of know what's coming up ahead. We only have a few more weeks before it's over. And the final. Alright, let's see.
Appreciate being able to spend the time doing stuff in class. And, you know, it's nice when you have other people to bounce off of, you know, rather than yourself at home and you get confused, people will drag you along here.
That's right. Now, I wish we had 6. There are... what we'll do now for about the next 20 minutes is we will break into twos. I'll work with somebody, maybe Keith and I or whatever, and I need you to pair off. I need you to go over your words so that they just become part of your memory structure. You should know your... I don't know how many words I've given you. What are they, about 40 or 50 words?
Yeah,
Words, both nouns and verbs, okay? Because you'll start to construct sentences. But then the next 2 weeks, you're going to construct a sentence where you say, go ye into all the cosmos, into all the world. And you're going to need to be able to, ton cosmon, the world, all right? Generic. You're going to need to be able to know that. So we got just a target to try to get to in the next 6 weeks. That is just going to be a nightmare. Okay, so let's break for the next 20 minutes. Don't take a break. Let's just pair off and go through your words until you...